We might like to open your Bibles, and we'll be looking at Paul's letter to the Romans. So, Romans chapter 1, and I'll read from verse 7. Incidentally, when I mentioned this passage, Fergus said that we were looking at this a couple of weeks back or something in the morning service, and I said, well, we could look for another passage to speak on, Fergus, and Fergus says, no, the Lord must be wanting to say something. You go ahead with that passage. So we're looking at Romans chapter 1. I'll read from verse 7. Paul says, to all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. God, whom I serve with my whole heart in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness how constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times. And I pray that now, at last, by God's will, the way may be open for me to come to you. I long to see you, so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I planned many times to come to you, but have been prevented from doing so until now, in order that I might have a harvest among you, just as I have had among other Gentiles. I am bound both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. That is why I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome. I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For in the gospel a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. We'll ask the Lord for his help, shall we? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that we're able to come together this evening as your people, your church. And we know, Father, of your great commission, sending your disciples into this world. And Father, we are also commissioned as your people to take the good news of Jesus Christ to our friends, our neighbours, our colleagues, those who don't yet know you as Lord and Saviour. And we pray, Father, that as we come to this passage in Paul's letter to the Romans, that you would guide us through your word and through your spirit. We ask that you would lift your word from the pages of Scripture and embed it in our hearts and minds so that we're better prepared to serve you. Serve you, Father, for the rest of our days. And Father, we ask that you take away any distracting thoughts that might be milling around in our minds just now. Maybe are issues that we need to deal with this coming week, and they've been constantly on our minds today. We pray, Father, that you'd enable us to put those thoughts aside as we concentrate on your word, and we lift this prayer to you confidently as we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Well, friends, we can all sing Go Forth and Tell, can't we? I don't know about you, but it's often easier for me to sing that than actually to do it. It's often difficult, isn't it? Evangelism, I find it difficult. Anyway, I don't know about you. But the good news is, friends, that this evening the Apostle Paul is going to be with us through his letter, and he's going to help us with our evangelism. He wants his motivation to rub off on us this evening. So Paul writes his letter, doesn't he, to the Romans. And in chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, we've got a short, pithy summary, I think, of the whole of the letter to the Romans. Just look there at verses 16 and 17. Paul says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes." Just look at the scope of that. First for the Jew and then for the Gentile. "For in the gospel, a righteousness from God," that's an imputed righteousness. It's not from ourselves, like all the world's made up religions. It's a righteousness from God is revealed. A righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. And we'll concentrate on verse 16 this evening. And I've got a couple of points. Firstly, the danger of being ashamed. And then secondly, our second point is two reasons not to be ashamed. So first of all, the danger of being ashamed. Verse 16, Paul says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel." But what about us? Are we ever ashamed of the gospel? And we all say, well, no, we're not, Paul. We're not ashamed of the gospel. But I wonder if we sometimes, you know, we're a little bit hesitant in explaining the gospel to folk. You know, maybe it's sometimes that we're perhaps 10% ashamed or a little bit embarrassed. You know, have you ever had a great opportunity to explain the gospel to somebody, to talk about Jesus, and you've somehow managed to avoid the subject? It's very difficult, isn't it? It's not easy to explain the gospel. I always find it difficult with my family. I don't know about you. I see more of my family sort of at Christmas. And we sort of had a get-together in Preston, in Lancashire, this Christmas. And as soon as the gospel seems to be coming onto the agenda, it's like they've all got sort of radar screens and they know what's coming. They know the spiritual realms on the agenda. And maybe one sister, she'll go to take the dog for a walk. Another sister, she'll go to do the washing up. And I'm sort of left with my mum, who's already a Christian. And they just sort of disperse. It's very difficult, isn't it? It's difficult to explain the gospel. It's difficult to go through the pain barrier, to have the courage to bring it onto the agenda. Paul, he was persecuted, wasn't he? He went from pillar to post. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, beaten with rods, stones, shipwrecked, whipped, in constant danger. But he wasn't ashamed of the gospel. He kept telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ wherever he went. I don't know about you, but I've never been beaten because of the gospel. Yet I've sometimes sort of buckled under with much less adversity. You know, here's somebody, they don't yet understand the gospel. And so without the Lord Jesus Christ, they're slipping into hell. Here's me. I'm supposed to be an evangelist. I've got the gospel on my lips, and we sometimes pass like ships in the night. There's sort of no engagement. Of course, I know it's impossible to speak to everybody. You just simply couldn't do that. You know, you couldn't walk around Sainsbury's, for example, could you? And stop everybody. Speak to the checkout girl. You can't explain the gospel to everybody. I suppose you can use opportunities. You can have tracts ready, can't you? Maybe some invitation cards for St. Paul's here. You can do that sort of thing. We can't speak to everybody, but I'm sure all of us, we've all missed opportunities. You know, we've sort of kept our heads below the parapet when there was an obvious opportunity. One morning last year, I'd taken the car to Paisley to have some work done on it, and I was getting the train back to Howard, where we live, and it was in the morning, about 8:30, I think it was, something like that. And I was waiting on the platform at Paisley Railway Station, and this young lady, she came up to me. She was East European, at least I think she was by her accent. She spoke perfect English. She asked me whether it was the right platform for the train to Ardrossan. And so I looked up at the screen just to make sure, and yes, it was the right platform for the train to Ardrossan. The trains to Ardrossan, they normally stop at Howard, where I live, but there's just one train on in the morning that doesn't stop at Howard. So I said, yes, you're on the right platform for Ardrossan, and the train will be here in about 5 minutes. I thought about telling her about the Lord Jesus Christ as she was sat right next to me on a bench. But then I began to think she might think I was chatting her up. And I began to think, maybe not, I'm not quite sure. Don't know if I was making excuses for myself. I thought about telling her about the Lord Jesus Christ, and I realised that time was fast running out. The train was shortly due. I thought about telling her about the Lord Jesus Christ, and I realised there was a lot of people just standing around. I thought they'll all be listening as well, and I feel just a little bit embarrassed about that. I thought about telling her about the Lord Jesus Christ, and the tannoy interrupted. The next train arriving at platform, whatever it was the 8 something or other to Ardrossan. And that was it. I'd lost the opportunity, hadn't I? I just missed it. And so I watched as she boarded the train. And I wondered why she was going to Ardrossan. I thought, I wonder if she's going for a job interview or something like that. I wonder what she's doing in Ardrossan. And then I reflected on what had just happened. And I thought, well, the Lord's sovereign, isn't he? He's put her day together. Every single step, every thought she's had, the Lord has put it together. And he's brought her along right next to me, his servant. And he sat her next to me. I could smell her perfume. And here I am, an evangelist. I know the script. It doesn't get easier, does it, than that. And so in principle, Paul, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. But in practice, well, in the nitty-gritty of human relationships, you know, perhaps there's an element at times of being ashamed. You know, maybe 5 or 10% sometimes. A bit embarrassed. I don't know about yourselves. A crucified carpenter's son. 2,000 years ago. It's such a contrast, isn't it, to the world in which we live in 2012, the world of the iPhone, the Euro crisis, the frenetic pace of life, TV soaps, the X Factor, new cars, new kitchens. I'd like to talk to you about Jesus. Well, it just sometimes doesn't seem to mesh, does it, in our thinking? And we can sort of be overwhelmed, you and me, when it comes to evangelism. You know, we want to hide out of the way, to retreat in our shells for a moment. And so, friends, not only do we miss opportunities, in doing so, we sin. It's called a sin of omission, isn't it? I speak for myself. If anyone is ashamed of me and my words, says Jesus, in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory with his holy angels. Mark chapter 8. If you're ashamed of me, says Jesus, then there's consequences. And perhaps we all feel we can look back and we can see moments in our lives where we've failed. We feel like we've not lived up to our calling. And Paul, well, he doesn't stop there, does he? His quill touches the parchment and he starts writing, doesn't he? And he writes a beautiful word that fills us with hope this evening. The Bible's like that, isn't it? It doesn't leave us in despair. Just have a look with me. Verse 16. Can you see the hope that there is for us lot? Can you see in the verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because... You see, Paul is not just telling us that he's a confident evangelist, is he? And leaving it there, sort of curtailing it. I'm not ashamed. He just doesn't finish there. He tells us what inspires him, what gives him confidence, what motivates him. And he wants it to rub off on us, doesn't he? So he says, because. What he's saying, this is why I'm not ashamed of the gospel. That's what he's saying. And we're all ears, aren't we, when we look at that. We want to learn from you, Paul. And so, friends, this evening, brothers and sisters, the Apostle Paul, no less, he's going to share his motivation in evangelism. What a privilege, isn't it, when you open God's word like that. The Apostle Paul, no less. And it's like we pull up to verses 16 and 17 with half-empty tanks. That's me half the time when it comes to motivation. My motivation, it's sometimes in the red. If there was a gauge, like your car fuel gauge, my motivation sometimes, it gets into the red. And the Apostle Paul, it's like he's got the nozzle in his hand and he wants to fill us up and send us on our way out into the world. Go forth and tell. So we'll be thinking about Paul's motivation here for the gospel. So our first point was the danger of being ashamed. And now secondly, two reasons for not being ashamed. So look again at verse 16. I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is what? It's the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. First for the Jew, and then for the Gentile. Isn't that amazing? So two reasons why Paul isn't ashamed of the gospel. Firstly, the gospel is the power of God. So here is Jesus on the cross. Just imagine him on the cross. He's isolated, isn't he? Deserted by his disciples, beaten, he's got nails through his wrists and his feet, he's been spat upon, rejected, mocked. He saves sinners, but he can't save himself. And it looks like the antithesis of power, doesn't it? Says Isaiah, like one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. And the world thinks, what a failure, doesn't it? How stupid to base a religion around a crucified Messiah. But all is not what it seems, is it, friends? Do you see? The Christian message didn't end, did it, at the cross? Jesus rose gloriously from the dead. And Paul is saying the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is let loose. It fuels the gospel. The world wants power, doesn't it? Am I right? Powerful computers, powerful hairdryers, powerful cars, powerful weapons. I know the Scottish National Party doesn't want powerful weapons. But they're all nothing, aren't they? All this power is nothing compared to the power of God, do you see? And so God created the whole world, didn't he? He created the cosmos, Genesis chapter 1, through his word, didn't he? He created life through his word. And when we communicate the gospel, friends, he's recreating through that same word. Psalm 51. David. He says, doesn't he? Create in me a new heart. What he's saying, Lord, I've tried this heart. I've tried to patch it up. I've tried to be faithful and it's just not worked. You need to do your work of creation in me again. Psalm 51 verse 10. Create in me a new heart. And that's what's happening, isn't it? When folk are hearing the gospel. Ephesians chapter 2, it captures this. You don't need to, well, you could turn it up actually. It would be helpful to have a look. Ephesians chapter 2. Just have a look with me from verse 1. Just look at our state, our status before the Lord Jesus Christ broke into our lives. Can you see that? Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. The sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of the sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. Objects of wrath. Yesterday I was on Buchanan Street, just outside the Tron Church, trying to engage folk in conversation. And it's awfully difficult, as you can imagine. There's a mass of humanity, isn't there, on a Saturday on Buchanan Street. But without Christ, Paul says, they're dead. And they're objects of wrath. You know, if you could sort of view Buchanan Street with some sort of biblical glasses, it would be a horrendous sight, wouldn't it, according to Paul? Most people are not Christians, and so they're dead. They're dead, friends, aren't they? Corpses. The devil has done far worse than Auschwitz, the living dead. But carry on with that chapter. We come to verse 4. But because, look at this, of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God, this is the work of creation again, verse 6, look at it. And God raised us up with Christ. It's like the resurrection, isn't it, in our own lives. God raised us up with Christ. And our salvation is so certain that he seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Verse 10, for we are God's workmanship, do you see? Again, it's God's creative hand. We are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Recreated, you see, to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. Isn't that amazing what God has done? We were dead, we were objects of God's wrath, yet God has made us alive, raised us up, created us in Christ Jesus. Jesus says to Nicodemus, doesn't he, in John chapter 3, you need to be born again, Nicodemus. And this is the power of God, friends, flowing from the gospel. Paul is telling us this evening that as we open our mouths to explain the gospel, the power of God, no less, is let loose to recreate. God is unleashed, the lion of the tribe of Judah in our very midst, through his word and through his spirit. And so, yes, you and me, we are weak, aren't we? We do mess up, we do fail, we feel inadequate. But it's not about us, is it? Just listen to this. Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you are wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth, but God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are. Paul says as well, he says we have this treasure, doesn't he, in jars of clay, to show that the all-surpassing power is from God and not from us, in 2 Corinthians. So, we feel inadequate. You feel inadequate, friends, at times. Well, that's an accurate assessment. We are, aren't we? And so we all ought to be involved with evangelism and allowing God to meet people through His Word, through His Gospel, through His Spirit. We ought to learn how to explain the Gospel. We ought to be ready at a drop of the hat to tell someone how the Lord Jesus Christ can save them. But what if you just can't do it? What if you just tried and tried and tried and it's just not you? It's too difficult. You can't manage with that. Well, invite people along to church. That's where they'll hear about the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? Bring folk along here. Build relationships. Pray. We're a team, aren't we? We've all got different opportunities, different gifts. We're the body of Christ together this evening here. In September, I went down south to visit this frail old lady that I'd known since I was converted in 1995. And she was then in her late 90s in September. 96, I think she was. And she was quite frail, mostly sort of skin and bone, and when I went to visit her in this nursing home, she was in the dining room, and the television was on, and it was far too loud, I think, for anyone to have a conversation. And I went to see Lily, and I could hardly hear what she was saying. She was struggling to put sentences together anyway. So I went to the nurse, and I said, "Would you mind if I could take Lillian out? It was a nice warm afternoon." I said, "Could I just take her out for a walk in the wheelchair?" And she gave me permission. So I took her around this path around the nursing home, and we were looking at the garden. She loves the garden, Lily, and we found a greenhouse. So I pushed her, opened the door and pushed her into this greenhouse. I don't know if we should have done that or not. There were some lovely tomatoes there. They smell lovely, don't they, tomatoes, when they're on the plant and fresh. And we had a tomato each. And Lillian, she had she was used powerfully by the Lord in her life. She once was leading a mission when she was in her 20s, and two girls got converted, and they spent the rest of their lives serving the Lord overseas as missionaries. So Lillian was used very much by the Lord in His worldwide mission. And as I was sort of chatting to Lillian, it was difficult. She was struggling to speak. She was asking me what she could pray for. And I told her about a Christianity Explored course that we were doing at South Glasgow Baptist Church. And she said that she would pray for that. And then on the course, someone's listening. Actually, a girl called Angie was listening to the gospel. And it suddenly all starts to fall into place, doesn't it? Lillian's praying. She can hardly do much else in her condition. And a girl's learning about the Lord Jesus Christ. The dungeon flames with light. Her chains fall off. She's set free, goes forth and follows the Lord Jesus Christ and serves Him. And I was back down in England just last week for Lillian's funeral. She'd passed away. Well done, good and faithful servant. She was called home. So friends, let's be praying as much as anything else, praying for nothing less than the power of God to be unleashed here at St. Paul's through the gospel, through his word. Pray for strength for us in the opportunities the Lord gives us in our own personal circumstances. So, our second point was two reasons why Paul isn't ashamed. And firstly, the gospel is the power of God. And now secondly, and more briefly, as we finish, there's another reason why Paul isn't ashamed of the gospel. And that's the great scope of the gospel. Just notice God's commitment to his creation. Just have a look there again at chapter 1 and verse 16. And just see how God's commitment to his creation, it matches the scope of the problem. Just have a look there. Verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation. How many people? For everyone who believes. First for the Jew, then for everyone else, then for the Gentile. Do you see? It's great, isn't it? Now, the scope of the gospel matches the scope of the problem, i.e. all of humanity. Do you see? And then from verse 18 and through the next couple of chapters, Paul is explaining how all of humanity, naturally, we're under the wrath of God because of sin. Romans chapter 3, verse 10, there's no one righteous, not even one, no one who understands. And so all of humanity, we've earned God's wrath, haven't we, because of our sin. We all actually deserve to go to hell. But the gospel brings salvation to everyone who believes, says Paul. Jew, Gentile, all of humanity. So the bad news is all have sinned. The good news is that the gospel is good news to everybody. God is committed to all of his creation. All who turn to him will be saved. And through the gospel, all who believe will be with the Lord Jesus, won't they? With Lillian in a new creation for all of eternity. Jew, Gentile, Buddhist, all who turn. Hindu, Muslim, atheist, agnostic. Your family, if they don't yet know the Lord Jesus Christ. Work colleagues, friends, the fields are white unto harvest, says Jesus, go ye into the world. And so, friends, she boarded the train to Ardrossan, didn't she? And I prayed for her. I prayed that somebody else would have the courage to speak to her, as I'd messed up on that occasion. And we live to fight another day, don't we? Me and you. And the Lord is building in experience all the time, isn't he? Forging our characters, developing our gifts. And he continues to give us all opportunities, doesn't he? Until he returns again. And he uses other people in the church, doesn't he? The family, the body. He uses us all to work together for his glorious purposes of bringing the message of the Lord Jesus Christ to this lost world. I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we recognize that we've all fallen short in so many different ways. And yet you love us, you're committed to us, you've called us together as your family, and you send us out into this lost world with the good news of your Son, Jesus Christ, on our lips. And so we pray, Father, that you would continue to give us opportunities, that you would guide our conversations, that you would shape every sentence so that it would engage with the lost, and they would hear and see something of the Lord Jesus Christ in us. We pray for the work of St. Paul's here, that you continue to equip and to send out folk into Morgai and beyond, that you would use this church for your glory and continue to build your kingdom. So go with us, we pray. We know that we're weak. We know that we often feel inadequate, but we call upon you, knowing that the gospel is not our power, but yours. It is the power of God for the salvation of all who believe. And we lift this prayer to you, Father, in Christ's name. Amen.